One thing I enjoy is reading or hearing conversion stories. Those stories that people who, for one reason or another, came to the church later in life. You know, maybe they grew up not baptized, whether as an atheist or no religion, or maybe they were part of a non-Christian religion, Buddhism or Islam or something like that. Maybe they were Catholics. They had gone through the sacraments of the church, but had just faded away and had a reversion, a return to the church. And of course, there are those Protestants who, through one reason or another, end up realizing that the Catholic Church is the church that Christ founded, and that Protestant churches do not have the fullness of the truth. Regardless of where these people come from, their stories of how they came to the church are very edifying. They're very powerful because they show the reason and faith that they had to go through to come into the church. And it's wonderful to hear these people, some of whom are highly intellectual, some of whom are more average, just average Joes in the world, talk about the belief and the love that they found in the church. And it helps us, first of all, to better understand what we believe as Catholics. Because they're always more than willing to say, well, I thought the church taught X, Y, and Z, but it really teaches this instead. The big one is, you know, worshiping Mary or something like that. No, we don't worship Mary. We honor her as our mother, but we don't worship her. Things like that. These people sought out Christ's church, the Catholic Church, and entered into it willingly and joyfully in most cases. One thing that you regularly will see in their stories is God himself seeking them out and leading them into the church. A lot of times there's some point in their stories where they talk about how they opened the door to God just a little bit. Just a little bit. Just kind of have that little question about God, or that little, okay, I believe that God exists, or I believe, you know, something along that lines. And God pushes the door open and enters into their life. They took the time to seek God, and God found them. God came to them and led them into the church. And that's good for us to understand that God does seek us out. He's like the landowner in the vineyard in the gospel. You know, we look at this gospel and, oh, this is why you should work hourly wage instead of a salary wage, or why you should be a part of a union. No, that's not what our Lord's talking about. It's nothing so earthly as that, what your wage structure should be like or what your corporate structure should look like. Our Heavenly Father is like the owner of the vineyard who is constantly seeking out for us. He is constantly seeking for souls to come to him, to be in the vineyard, to be in the kingdom of heaven. And he's constantly looking for us. And it doesn't matter where we are in our life. God wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him, to find him, and to receive his generosity, his love, to receive his grace. And it doesn't matter if we're an infant or on our deathbed or somewhere in the middle. It's never too late to seek out God, to seek to find him, to open ourselves to him. There's a beautiful poem written by the British author Francis Thompson, which was written in the late 1800s, called The Hound of Heaven. It's a beautiful poem of, you know, this narrator who is running away from something. There's something chasing this narrator, a hound. And he keeps trying to escape from this hound. And he keeps looking to the things of the world and other people, trying to hide, trying to protect himself from this hound. Eventually, this narrator realizes that this hound is God himself chasing him, seeking after him. And it is at the end, when this narrator stops and allows the hound to catch him, that he finds the love of God. And it's interesting the way this poem is written, that the narrator's voice is written, it's irregular. It's not a rhyme, it's not a specific meter. You know, like if you remember studying poetry where there's meter and rhyme and things like that in poetry. The narrator's voice, when he's running away from the hound, is very irregular. Irregular line lengths and so on. But the hound's voice is always regular meter and rhyme. And then at the end, when the narrator allows the hound to catch him, allows him to find God's love, the whole thing goes into regular meter and rhyme. It fits a standard poetic structure, showing, of course, that we are called not to run away from God, but to turn toward him and allow him to catch us. It is an absolutely beautiful poem, The Hound of Heaven. I encourage you to look it up if you've never read it. It is a classic of poetry, and it is a very easy read, and it's very beautiful. It is very much worth reading. And this poem shows us, as the first reading says, that we need to seek the Lord while he may be found, call him while he is near. We need to seek the Lord. And he's always near to us. He's always there, but we need to turn to him. We need to turn to him to find the fulfillment that we desire in our lives. And again, that's the point of the poem, is this narrator was looking to the things of the world, gold and other people and possessions and all these things, to find fulfillment. And he found it in God. And the same thing can happen to us in our lives. We can be so caught up in the things of the world, in our desires, in our wants, in our wills, that we are running away from God. Meanwhile, he's following us. He's there with us. We just need to stop looking to the world and look to him to find that fulfillment that we seek. That fulfillment for all our difficulties and sorrows and joys and pain and questions that we might have. He is the fulfillment of that. It's a bit of a cliche anymore, but there really is a God-shaped hole in our heart. There is a part in our lives that cannot be fulfilled except by him. Only he can fulfill our lives. Now, there are many who will say that they aren't seeking God. They're happy not having God in their life. They're happy with the things of the world. They're content with what they have out there, other people and things and so on. But you know, the very fact that we seek out friendship and relationships is a sign that we are seeking for something, someone outside of us. We know that we cannot live on our own. We need to be in relationship with other people, as friends, as spouses, as family. We know that there's something deeper we want, and that is our desire for God, rightfully also leading us to have relationship with others. It's good that we have relationship with others, family and friends and so on, but that draws from our desire for God. And when we look to material things and we try to fill our lives with stuff and activity and our personal desires, that's an acknowledgement that we are not complete on our own. We are not fulfilled on our own. So we look to other things to fulfill us, when again, we need to look to God to fulfill us. Now, some might say, well, I know that I need to turn to God. I know that I need to allow him to find me. But I'm afraid to. Because as St. Paul says, for to me life is Christ and death is gain. We don't want to die, whether physically or die to self. Die to our desires, die to our wants, die to the things of the world, die to anything that keeps us from God. Seeking God will require a change on our part. It will require the humility to admit that we are not perfect, to admit that we are not complete without Him, and that there are many things that we desire and that we will that keep us from Him, that turn us away from Him. We will have to desire Him more than our selfish sacrifices. You know, just as the workers in the parable were burdened in the field under the hot sun, we will be burdened with the sacrifice of having to die to self, to give up ourselves, even our very lives, as the martyrs show throughout the history of the church, to follow God. We will also have to realize that His ways are not our ways, and His thoughts are not our thoughts. We will need to submit humbly to Him and make it not about ourselves and I think and I desire and I wish. He desires and He wills is what we need. And this will go against our very stubborn, individualistic, independent ways. We can't be stubborn in the face of God. We need to be humble in His face. We need to humble ourselves before Him, allow Him to catch us, and to lead us into the kingdom of heaven. And of course, the sacrifice is worth it. His mercy and His generosity is endless. That's the idea of the owner of the vineyard paying out the daily wage to all of the workers. It's generosity. It's mercy. He has mercy on those who only worked an hour just as much as He has mercy on the person who struggled his whole life. God has mercy on us. He has generosity towards each and every one of us beyond anything we can imagine here on earth. We can only experience just glimpses of it here on earth. If we truly wish to receive that mercy and that generosity, we just need to let the hound of heaven catch us.